Good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. And we're so delighted that you tuned in today. This is Pastor Ken Keltner. I'm the lead pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, which is located on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I am filling in for Pastor Greg, who normally is at the controls and the mic here for our Word for Life broadcast, and he's not able to be with us today. And about a month or so ago, we had a revival time at Brookside, and we had an evangelist, Ron DeGard, his wife Kristen, and their four children come in and do a half week of meetings with us. And so we're happy to have recorded some times with Ron in our studio when he and his family were here with us. And so, Ron, thanks for being with us, and thanks for coming up to cold Wisconsin right now.
Oh, well, thanks for having us. We've certainly enjoyed our time here and enjoyed getting to know the people at Brookside.
Now, how long have you been in evangelism? I mean, so you're traveling on the road.
We have been evangelism 15 years. I traveled 1 year by myself, single, and then this is our 14th year married.
And so you load up the pickup or the truck, and then you have a trailer on the back, and you've been doing that with a family for 14, 15 years.
Yeah, well, with the truck and trailer, probably about 12 of those years. We actually have a semi-truck that we use to pull our 53-foot trailer. So
you must be a good driver.
Well, I'm scared all the time. It makes you safe.
Yeah, it keeps you on your knees praying, right?
Yes.
Well, share with us a little bit, Ron, of your background, kind of where you grew up and kind of what all God has been doing. I mean, you can obviously share with us when that journey of faith began with you, and just give us a little bit of background concerning your life and kind of how God has brought you to this point.
I grew up in a home where both of my parents were saved. They were believers in the Lord. Both of their parents were believers in Jesus Christ. So we have a rich heritage of folks that knew the Lord in our family. So I'm very thankful for that. So I heard the gospel even as a kid growing up from as early as I can recall.
It's like someone told me one time, they said, early on I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church as a little guy. So you basically were going to church constantly.
Oh, yes. Okay. We were there every time the doors were open.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. And so, hey, welcome to Wisconsin and the nice weather up here. When we recorded this, we were in the single and minus digits, below zero, but we're glad to have you. So going ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. So you grew up in Atlanta, your folks, your grandparents, so third generation Christian or even?
Probably further more than that.
Wow, you're right.
And all my family grew up in inner city New York. My dad's from Brooklyn, my mom's from Queens. And all of my family for the last 100 years almost. So it's
grew up in New York.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny to live in Atlanta with a dad that's got a thick Brooklyn accent.
Oh, I bet so. And is your dad still living?
He is. They are. They still live in Atlanta, go to the same church that I grew up in. So I would hear the gospel several times as a kid. And I remember being in children's church, obviously hearing the gospel again. I would hear it at home. And I don't remember a lot about being a kid. But what's really interesting is I have a vivid memory of not as much being afraid of going to hell, but a memory of the thought of conviction of how my sin offended a God who gave his only son for me. Hmm. And I was so broken over that. And it wasn't a fear of going to hell, although I didn't want to go there, but it was a really distinct memory and just a thought that I had failed to live to God's standards, even everything he's done for me.
So your mom and dad must have been so encouraged to see your sensitivity, even as a small boy, in regard to your own sin, and your sin is what put Christ on that cross. And wow. If you're just joining us, this is Pastor Ken Keltner at Brookside. I'm filling in for Pastor Greg today, and in our studio is Ron DeGard, who is an evangelist. He's been traveling for about 15 years with his wife and four children now, and they sing and they minister, and we at Brookside have reap the benefits of them being here with us. And Ron is just sharing with us a little bit about his upbringing and family from New York down now in Atlanta, and that's where he grew up, and how God brought him to himself. And so that journey of faith with you began early on.
Oh, it did. And so I was probably 8 or 9 years old when I trusted the Lord. I heard a message at church, but I came back home and talked with my parents at home. And that's when they took the scriptures out again, and I made a decision, placed my faith in the Lord.
We might have some folks listening, Ron, who would say, hey, that, Ken, Ron, that was me. But then when I hit junior high and I hit high school, I tended to wane. from that decision that I'd made with Christ. I even doubted whether or not the Lord would truly save me. Did you ever have any of those difficulties that came down the pike in junior high, high school, college, anything along that line?
Oh, sure, especially a lot of times when there would be sinful failures in your life and you're tempted to think, am I really saved? Am I really born again? And I think of the scriptures where it says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And really, as a teenager, I would go to camps and hear preaching in church and the gospel again. And as I did that, examined myself to see whether I'd be in the faith, I really came to a really firm conviction that when I was 8 or 9, I really did trust the Lord, and that's where change began, and I started my relationship with the Lord. But definitely those things happened over time. But through the scriptures is where I found that assurance of what I did as an 8 or 9.
That's good. So as you travel, you must run into a lot of people. It seems like my experience has been, Ron, as a pastor, is so many people battle whether or not they're truly a child of God. I heard John MacArthur say it so well one time. He said, you know, when you have a group of people over here to your left and they want to serve God, they want to live for God, but they battle whether or not they're truly a child of God. And over on your right, you have a group of people who live any way they want to live. I mean, it seems like their life is marked by a love for the world and sinfulness. And you talk to them and they've never doubted their salvation, and they can pinpoint some time when they were younger and they prayed the prayer, so to speak. And he ended up making the comment, something seems to be off kilter when you have direction that is so opposed as far as where they're heading. Someone has to be involved with that doubt and that deceitfulness. And, of course, we're familiar, Satan is that great deceiver. How do you, when you come in contact with people that might come up to you after a meeting, or they know you're an evangelist, pastor, and they say, hey, Ron, help me, man. I believe I trusted Christ, but I still just really struggle if for sure I know that I'm going to live in heaven with God one day.
Sure. You know, there are really a few reasons why we doubt our salvation. One is because we're not saved, and that would be an obvious reason why. Another, and we find this very, very seldom does this happen, but maybe someone trusts the Lord at an early age and really is born again and knows the Lord as their Savior. But then for whatever reason, because of their mom and dad or circumstances, they're never in church ever again. And so they've never received training or discipleship or walked through the scriptures. And so that is another scenario. Or, again, I believe the scriptures teach us another reason we doubt our salvation is because there is sin in our life that is blocking us, as Peter said, to know that we've been purged from our old sins. So usually I just go through the gospel, and again, the scripture says, examine yourself, see whether you be in the gospel. We just go through the gospel again, because that person is the only one that's going to know whether they really trust in the Lord. And, you know, have you done this? Have you placed your faith in Christ and what he's done on the cross? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there come a point you place your dependence upon the Lord? And a lot of times, folks, as we go through the gospel, I mean, I understand it. I've done that. Then we transition to, well, what sin is it in your life that is blocking this assurance? Because a lot of times we're asking God to turn the light on to save us, but the light's already on. There's just sin blocking us from knowing that communion with our Lord. And so then we begin to deal specifically with sin. And really, when I go through that, I ask the Spirit to lead them into truth and just really where they're at. But I do feel like a lot of times people say the devil made me doubt my salvation. And I certainly don't doubt that that happens. But when the devil makes you doubt your salvation, what is that going to make you want to do? It's going to make you want to get it settled. I mean, who wants to die and spend eternity in judgment apart from God for all time? A lot of times I think that when we doubt our salvation, God is the one that's actually working in our heart. And there's a parable that our Lord gave in the Gospel of Matthew about the wheat and the tares. And the servants came to the master and said, do we not sow good seed in the field? And he said, we did, but there's tares in the field. And a tare is an agricultural plant. It looks like wheat, but there's no grain inside. It's empty. And he said, an enemy has done this. And people would put tares in a field. It was a very insidious way to attack somebody. Because if you didn't catch that and you were to harvest it, make it into bread, and you were to consume it and eat it and digest it, if you ate enough of the tares, it was poisonous. It could actually kill you. So it was a very insidious way to really attack somebody. You know, if we were the devil, and thankfully we're not, but if we were, a much better strategy to damn someone's soul for eternity would say, oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you walked an aisle. You filled out a card. Your parents taught Sunday school. You're a good person. Oh, you don't have any need to have any concern. That would be a much better way, really, to deceive people. So a lot of times I think when God is dealing with us about salvation, whether we're really born again, sometimes we say the devil made me doubt my salvation, when actually God is the one drawing us to himself over our sin.
Yeah. I had a very interesting time. When people tell me they doubt their salvation, I'm very sensitive to it because I went through a very difficult time. After Bible college, I was on one of the islands in the West Indies and went out on some door-to-door visitation and came across a lady in her 80s who spoke Patois, which is a form of French, didn't speak English, but I could tell she was angry. So the person I'm with, you know, when we leave, it kind of, you know, I could tell when she slammed the door it wasn't a happy scenario. And I said, hey, what'd she say? And he goes, you don't want to know. And I should have left it at that, Ron, but I didn't. And I kept asking. And sure enough, I find out, you know, he said, well, she's a witch and she just put a hex on us. And I was supposed to preach that night. I could take you to that little two-room church house that we were getting ready to meet with teens on. And I was on the front row, and all of a sudden, man, I just got hit with, man, am I sure I'm a believer? And I went through the most horrific doubts. And someone shared with me from Ephesians 6, besides the sword of the Spirit as an offensive weapon, if you go down to verses 18 and 20, Paul said, hey, prayer, pray for me. Pray for me that I'll be able to give the gospel. Pray for other saints that they'll persevere, that they'll grow. And so I took the approach of anytime those thoughts, because so many times the battle, the spiritual battle rages in the minds of believers. And they're like, they have these wars within their minds of, can I have victory? Am I not having victory? And so forth. And so when the thought came to my mind that maybe I wasn't a believer, I just simply started praying. It reminded me to pray for an unsaved person, Christian not living for the Lord, and for a spiritual leader in my life. I call it my prayer target. Temptation, wrong thoughts, whatever they might be, I went to that, and I, to this day, I am so grateful and thankful, because I love what you said. For someone who truly isn't a believer, you're right, Satan is going to let them know, hey, you're okay, don't worry about it. Possibly for the believer, he would love for him to go through those doubts, because they're not going to really be willing to share the gospel, because they're not for sure themselves. Sure. You know. So, great point. We're going to keep you here for a few more broadcasts. And again, if you're just tuning in with us, we have Ron DeGard, who is an evangelist, has been for about 15 years, travels all over the country, internationally. Okay. You've been all over the world, Ron. And we're just delighted your family's been with us here at Brookside. Again, I'm Pastor Ken, just filling in for Pastor Greg, as he's not able to be with us today. And I hope you'll pick up some of the following broadcasts with Ron DeGard, because we're just going to keep talking about some of his experiences, how he's help folks, how he obviously gives the gospel, and then to help believers really have victory in their life and keep moving forward. And, hey, we keep pressing on for our King. And so we're grateful and thankful that you tuned in with us today on the Word for Life broadcast. And pick up our next broadcast as we're going to continue our discussions here with Ron DeGard.